Our sermon this morning is based on a reading from Genesis chapter 2, verses 8 through 15. It says, "And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground the Lord made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river flows out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it divides and becomes four branches. The name of the first is Pishon. It is the one that flows around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. Delum and onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It is the one that flows around the whole land of Cush. The name of the third river is Tigris, which flows east of Assyria. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it." Thank you, God, for inviting us into your garden and for taking such tender care of us. Well, Happy New Year once again, everyone. You may remember for the past few years, the Holy Spirit gave me a word of the year. Last year, the word was promise. The year before that, it was ready. The year before that, it was enough. And the year before that was dare. This year, the Holy Spirit gave me a whole theme for 2026. This is the year for us to grow and thrive. After enduring pandemic, fire, and flood, it is now time for us to grow. Not just in numbers, either of people in the pews or monetary blessings, but in faith, in courage, in our conviction that we are here in this particular place at this particular time to be a beacon of God's light and love and acceptance and welcome. Two, as we discerned last year, to seek, to be, and to make disciples of Christ. In the spirit of Jesus, we are here as First Christian Church Ruidoso to nourish one another spiritually, physically, and mentally with love. With the theme of growing and thriving, we're going to envision ourselves this year as part of a garden, of God's own garden, watched over and tenderly tended to by God himself. We'll go the gamut of good gardening, planting, pruning, watering, weeding, fertilizing. We'll also look at some of the downsides of growing a garden, such as enduring times of doubt. And we'll learn some gardening and harvesting terms, such as grafting, winnowing, and gleaning. We will learn to grow in faith, in spirituality, in trust, in giving. We will let God plant us, and we will develop roots that will go deep. We will spring up and sprout and flourish like trees planted in a good field. God is a gardener. One of the first things God created was a glorious garden in Eden. The land of Eden was a place of fertility, beauty, and delight. No one knows where the garden was. The hint about the river that divided into four branches is terribly tantalizing. The Euphrates and the Tigris are pretty well known today, but the Pishon and the Gihon are not. Some say one or the other river was the Nile or even the well-known biblical river, the Jordan. Scholars say that the flood changed the landscape so drastically that finding the site of the Garden of Eden is well nigh impossible. They speculate it was somewhere in the Middle East. Maybe it's under the Persian Gulf now. They say Eden was probably a very extensive region in Mesopotamia, distinguished for its natural beauty and the richness and variety of its produce. Others say it's in modern-day Iraq. I've read elsewhere that the Sahara Desert is where the first garden was, or maybe it's even at the North or the South Pole. The scripture says when God drove the first humans, Adam and Eve, from the garden, God placed cherubim and a sword, flaming and turning, to guard the way to the tree of life. And ever since then, as Joni Mitchell sings, we've been trying to get ourselves back to the garden. We miss it. It was a pristine place, a perfect place. The word Eden signifies the light and pleasure, and indeed the garden was a paradise. The human creation had everything they needed there. They had to work in the garden, of course, probably picking fruit from the trees so more could grow, but it wasn't a chore at all. God was there working right alongside them. God must have been so proud of the garden that he wanted to share it with someone, and so God created the first human being and brought him to the garden. God presented to Adam all the birds and animals, and Adam named them. Then God, recognizing that it was not good for the man to be alone, made the woman to be his companion, flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. It's fun to imagine the world of Eden, lush and green and full of beautiful flowers and towering trees and that awesome clear river running through it. But I also wonder, was the garden just a corner of the vast world God had created? Obviously, it was Adam and Eve's whole world, but was it the whole world? The word used for garden here also means an enclosed place, so it may have had a wall around it. So outside of the garden was the rest of the world. What was God trying to keep out? Wasn't everything God made deemed good? Shouldn't it have all been in the garden? Did Adam and Eve ever wonder what was beyond the glorious garden? On the one hand, yearning for things beyond the goodness of God is ungrateful. But on the other hand, knowing there are things out there to explore and discover, that's human. Perhaps the question of what lay outside the garden didn't come into Adam and Eve's minds until after they had eaten the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And as awful as that was, as awful as being expelled from the garden was, yet we also realized that it was only outside the enclosed garden that the man and woman could become all they were destined to become. Eve could never have become the mother of all living had she stayed in the garden. Didn't God want Adam to see what all was out there? Surely God wanted them to learn and grow and see how much more God had created. Why would God hold them back? Only after they left Eden did they realize how good they had it. Tilling and tending the land outside the garden became a chore. It was hard work. God had said, "Cursed is the ground because of you, Adam. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field by the sweat of your face. You shall eat bread until you return to the ground, for out of it you are taken, you are dust, and to dust you shall return." Once exiled, all Adam wanted, what we all want, was to return to the garden. We've learned our lesson. We know we had a cush in the garden. We know nothing outside of it could equal its beauty. And we lament the loss of the close fellowship we had with God in the garden. I love that description of God walking in the garden of the cool of the evening, looking forward to spending time with Adam and Eve, showing them things, teaching them, and talking to them. The garden in Eden became the standard for all gardens, for all times. Every garden ever planted anywhere would forever be compared to the one in Eden, and all of them would come up short. Later scriptures, some of them we'll look at over the course of this year, they upheld the garden as the perfect place. Isaiah 51:3 says, "The Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places and make her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord." And that's what we long for, that all the waste places and wildernesses of the earth will be healed and made perfect once again. That all the waste places and wildernesses of our own souls will be healed and made perfect once again. But how do we get back to the garden? We do have one thing that will take us back, something whose presence was there at the first, even before the beginning, when, as Proverbs tells us, there were no depths, when there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains had been shaped, when God had not yet made earth and fields or the world's first bits of soil. This was one who was there when God established the heavens, when God drew a circle on the face of the deep, when God made firm the skies above, when God established the fountains of the deep, when God assigned to the sea its limit, when he marked out the foundations of the earth. This one was beside the creating God like a master worker. Yes, we are talking about Jesus Christ, the same one who was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. And because of Jesus, we can and we will get back to the garden. Because of his saving act, his death on the cross, and his resurrection in another garden, we have a chance to return to the first garden. It's going to take some growing and sowing on our part. We'll need to be weeded and possibly pruned to get us ready. We need to bear fruit that shows our dedication to God and our determination to return to the garden. And once we get back, we will never again have to leave it. May it be so, and may it be soon. Let us pray. God, we are grateful for the world we live in with all its beauty and richness, but we long to return to the first garden you created for us. As we learn and grow this year, we will bloom where we are planted and keep thriving and striving for the ideal existence of living forever with you. Amen.